Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Gambling Podcast Week 12 edition. I'm your host, Sean, stacking that green. And I'm with my partner in picks, Ryan, Big Dog Kramer. What's happening, Ryan?
I like that, stacking the green.
You got it, man. Great little sports name. Man, Week 11, kind of tough. I felt like I was right on about some of these games and then way off on some others. How'd you do Week 11, Ryan?
Pretty much the usual. I've been treading water. We got kicked in the nuts a couple games, especially if you had Atlanta. They got backdoored. Who else got backdoored? We had the Carolina Panthers, who were up 17, thought our plus 7 was a lock, and they managed to put that.
Wow, that was amazing how they were able to lose that game and lose the cover all in once. All right, let's break down the Week 11 lines. Just a reminder, guys, the show is brought to you by winthetrophy.com. You can log on there. Make sure you enter the referral code STG. It's free fantasy gambling. It's pretty fun. You just pick the games. They give you credits. Whatever credits you have over the 1,000 they give you at the end of the week counts towards actual money. It's totally legal. And also, we're on Amazon. You guys can click the Amazon link on Sports Gambling Podcast and Stitcher. The show's doing really well on Stitcher, so thank you guys for checking it out. All right, Week 11, the first game, the Thursday night game. I was feeling strong about my main man, Tim Tebow, getting 6 points at home. They covered. They won outright. Ryan, when does this Tebow train come to an end, or does it?
I don't know. I thought I'd go my whole life without believing there was a God, but I guess there is. I don't. This is what it took, Tim Tebow. I can't explain it otherwise.
Well, this week especially made sense because the Jets were playing a short week, going into Mile High, didn't have a lot of time to prepare for this new Denver offense. And I don't understand it. Rex Ryan's supposed to be a defensive genius. I don't know why he's sending the house when that's the last thing you want to do is blitz Tim Tebow and allow rushing lanes. If anything, you should just have two or three guys hanging around by the line of scrimmage and forcing him to pass. Like, you should be dropping 8 people that entire game, especially that last drive. Makes no sense to me.
I don't know how they, and not only that, but the whole game, they didn't blitz him that much. They kind of gave him plenty of time to, like, line up his throws. I feel like if you blitz him and force him to roll out and try to throw it, he's awful. I don't get this. I don't get why teams can't stop this.
Yeah, doesn't make sense. But he's fun, man. I don't know. There's just something fun about a guy who's not good at football winning games at the quarterback level. Can't help it. Well, one guy who didn't win a game, once again, Blaine Gabbert for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Cleveland won 14-10. It was a pick'em. That was my lock of the week, Jacksonville. Felt great about this. The game basically unfolded exactly how I thought it would be. Maurice Jones-Drew had some nice, you know, some nice runs. Jacksonville really got screwed with this pass interference in the end zone. Jack Del Rio challenged it. The ball was obviously tipped in the replay, and they still allowed the pass interference. Didn't make any sense to me. Jacksonville still had a great chance to win the game. Last play of the game, hits the guy right in the numbers, drops the ball, wide open.
He had 3 plays from, like, the 2-yard line. It was
3 plays from the 2-yard line. Could not score. Could not key in my lock of the week. Ryan, any thoughts moving forward with either of these teams?
Yeah, I mean, they're both pretty bad. I think that's what we learned.
Yeah, although I still feel Jacksonville has moments where they're not as bad, and I feel like Cleveland is more consistently bad. But, man, tough loss here for the Jags and tough loss for me in my lock of the week. Okay, now another game which we felt like we had locked up because we had Carolina getting 7 points in Detroit. I think Carolina was up by 17 points, if I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, they were up 17 points, and they managed to get not only did they not cover, or win the game, but they lost and didn't cover. Pretty unbelievable.
They lost 49-35 to the Detroit Lions at home. That's basically a 31-point swing during the game. You don't see that.
They were winning 24-7 at one point, I believe.
Yeah, and then Detroit just went on a tear at some point, and Stafford looked amazing.
Like Cam Newton said, they put on a clinic on how to lose a game.
Carolina, you feel bad for this Carolina team because if they could get somewhat of a defense going, their offense has definitely showed life. Okay, now the Battle of the Bay is Green Bay laying 14 against Tampa Bay. that was enough for Tampa Bay to cover because Tampa Bay only lost by 9 points. Felt like Tampa was playing real aggressive, kind of just going for the house. Had a couple moments where they felt like they were in this game, but this Green Bay team is too strong. Ryan, does anyone from the NFC slow down or stop the Green Bay Packers? Feel like I just don't see how anyone loses or
the
Packer team gets upset.
Their defense is too bad. I think they might lose this week against Detroit just because Detroit can do what their defense can't stop, and that's big play. And now they have a running back who looked pretty good in Kevin Smith, so that's it'll be
Kevin Smith dug up from the grave. Of course, forget if we were watching the game or it was the red zone announcer, but it was making a lot of Kevin Smith Mallrats type jokes. Clerk
working as a clerk, right?
I don't know if he was a Mallrat or he's working somewhere as a clerk. Perhaps he was chasing Amy.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Tampa's a bad team, but this Green Bay defense is really bad. I mean,
Green Bay defense is really bad, but it hasn't mattered yet. I feel like eventually it's going to matter, and it's going to come into play maybe this Thursday in Detroit, short week, division rival. We'll see. Okay, another division rivalry, although not a very historic rivalry. The Miami Dolphins whooped up on the Buffalo Bills 35-8. Seems like there is no magic left in Ryan Fitzmagic. After signing that huge contract, he's gone 0-3. Doesn't look good for the Buffalo Bills. The resurgent Miami Dolphins, perhaps saving Tony Sperano's job? I don't think so. I think he's still going to get whacked at the end of the year. But this Miami Dolphins team putting up a fight, looking solid.
I think Sperano keeps his job, and I also think this is why you don't give big contracts to quarterbacks who went to Harvard.
Yeah, he's probably already gotten involved in some Ponzi scheme. He's too smart with the money. Now you give a guy, millions of dollars from Harvard, he's got all these investment opportunities. He's not going to spend it on rims. He doesn't need the money in the same sense. He's not going to be hungry for the money anymore. So Miami covered the 2.5 points at home, destroying the Buffalo Bills. Another interesting matchup, the Minnesota Vikings at home losing 21-27 to the Oakland Raiders. Oakland not looking too bad, but I think the story of this game is Adrian Peterson getting knocked out early with ankle issue. I think he rolled his ankle there.
Yeah, he's got a high ankle sprain. This game came back, him getting hurt and then Ponder throwing that one interception that gave Oakland a touchdown. Other than that, Minnesota kind of came storming back, but
Minnesota 1-point dogs at home, not enough. Now this was an NFC East divisional matchup, the Dallas Cowboys, the vaunted Dallas Cowboys, going into Washington. I feel like this was Washington's Super Bowl. This is their probably most bitter rival. They're at home. This is kind of the game they have to play for. They fought back, brought it into overtime, but in Redskins-like fashion, managed to piss away the victory, losing 27-24 against the Dallas Cowboys. Interesting note, I missed this during the actual game, but Dallas had already used their 2 timeouts. They were setting up for, I think, like a 39-yard field goal. Already used their 2 timeouts. You only get 2 in overtime. Tony Romo goes to call for a timeout, which would have been a personal foul, moving them back 15 yards, making it a much harder field goal. But before he called the timeout, Mike Shanahan called the timeout to ice the kicker. So he basically bailed out Tony Romo from another horrific gaffe at holder position. I still have no idea why Tony Romo is a holder. It's insane to me that they still have him as a holder after what he went through in Seattle, blowing that game completely. But the Skins covered the spread. They were getting anywhere between 7, 7.5 points. Ryan, any thoughts on this game?
Nope. Washington stinks. Shanahan's going to keep his job, but he shouldn't.
Yeah, he really screwed this team. I felt like he pulled the gun way too early on benching Rex Grossman. Rex Grossman still looked okay. He's had moments of pretty strong competency. He's definitely an upgrade over Beck. I don't know why they just basically threw away those games to Beck. I felt like they might have been able to steal a couple of those if they would have had Grossman in.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, Shanahan gets all this credit for some reason, when in reality they should just say, hey, John Elway was really good.
Yeah, exactly. All right, now the Cincinnati Bengals went into Baltimore where they were getting 7 points, and that's exactly what they lost by, pushing against the Ravens 31-24. Another controversial catch in the end zone. They really have to simplify these rules on the catch. I'm tired of arguing about what is a catch, what isn't a catch. I mean, I watch hours upon hours of football, and I can't for the life of me give you a definite explanation on when you have to have possession of the ground, when you don't have to have possession of the ground. I thought the Cincinnati receiver caught it before he crossed the plane, which would mean he had possession going into crossing the plane, so then he didn't have to maintain possession. It seems like it's getting pretty down.
The part of the rule that's stupid is if you're going to the ground, you have to maintain possession, which is, I don't know. It makes sense, but it also doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I feel like if you establish possession in the end zone, you have it, that's a touchdown. And then what happens after that is shouldn't affect the play. All right, here another kind of crap game, but the Seattle Seahawks whooped up on the St. Louis Rams 24-7. St. Louis jumped out to a 7-0 spread, but Seattle managed to score 24 unanswered. Seattle getting 1.5 in St. Louis. This Seattle team is a good, bad team. They feel like they're probably the king of the bad to mid teams. So I think there's some value in there because I feel like people see them as just an outright bad team. But in fact, against crappy teams or when they're getting 5 to 7 points, they're a good wager.
Yeah, I mean, they look pretty good. I mean, I didn't understand how they were underdogs in this game anyway, but they looked pretty solid. I mean, Tavares Jackson's not a bad quarterback, as crazy as that sounds.
Yeah, and you got Marshawn Lynch. You have some semblance of an offense. Their defense plays tough at times, especially at home. Okay, shooting over to some more NFC West action. San Francisco 49ers on a roll, 23-7 against the Arizona Cardinals. San Francisco, big spread for them, 9.5 points, even though they are kind of a conservative team. They were able to cover that spread. Came close to not covering it. Seemed like Arizona might get a garbage touchdown at the end. But alas, it was not meant to be. San Francisco won and covered, looking to clinch the division pretty early here out west.
That's why I don't bet on them with big spread. They almost let some like fourth string quarterback backdoor them. Some Balter guy. I don't even know what his name is.
But then again, they also missed. Akers missed a couple field goals, so it shouldn't have probably been that close.
They should be scoring touchdowns if they're this good.
They don't score touchdowns though. That's not their strategy. It's
that
bizarre.
That I like them this week.
Bizarre 49ers team. Okay, another push here. The Atlanta Falcons pushed against the Tennessee Titans, 23-7 at home. Atlanta laying 6 points. I felt good about Tennessee getting 6 points. Not really great times for the Tennessee Titans. Hasselbeck got knocked out, although Jake Locker came in and looked pretty solid. What are your thoughts on this game, Ryan?
That was a blessing in disguise. I mean, he looked better than Hasselbeck. He brought him back, and they backdoored it. I like this team with Locker running the show. He's a little more mobile, got a little more athleticism.
Yeah, he could be good. And especially these rookie quarterbacks where they don't have a time to – defensive coordinators don't have time to really figure them out. There's not enough tape on them. They sometimes have a couple good – you know, if they're a bad quarterback, they sometimes get off to a hot start.
They could run a little of that option read offense with Locker and Chris Johnson this week. It might be successful.
Something to get Chris Johnson going.
Yeah.
Okay, the Chicago Bears, they are on another hot streak, whooping up on the San Diego Chargers, 31-20. This game got a little close at times, but it seemed like Chicago was pretty well in control this game. Although, awful news for Chicago, looks like Cutler is out for the regular season with a thumb injury. This guy is just, I don't know, this isn't helping his reputation for being soft. I mean, I understand it's on his throwing hand, but doesn't it seem like you could just splint that up and you'd be all right? I mean, maybe I'm way off on this, but I feel like you could get something, some sort of tape, some sort of splint to kind of lock your thumb in place, but he's getting surgery on his thumb. Looks like he'll be out for the rest of the race.
You kind of need your thumb to throw.
Yeah, I don't know. If you're a pussy like Jay Cutler.
You're really stretching on this one, Sean. Yeah, I don't know.
What do you think? Does this affect Chicago's ability to make the playoffs?
I don't know, because when Haney's come in, he's looked good. I actually think there's value in them this week because the spread's probably inflated because Cutler's out. I think their defense has been strong, and they've been running the ball. We'll get
to week 12 here in just a second. One or two more games, actually. Well, we'll take care of this one first. New England Pats whooping up on KC, 34-3, covering that 14.5. I saw some places as high as 17.5 points. They covered it no problem. Patriots on a roll. Rob Gronkowski all over the place, racking it up for my fantasy team. Although, call me crazy, even though they won 34-3, definitely, especially that first quarter, this New England team is not the same New England team of previous dominance, and I definitely think they're vulnerable.
Their defense is awful.
Their defense is awful, and Brady seems much more susceptible to being picked off, being rattled, and he doesn't seem as dialed in throwing the ball. Early on in the season, that guy was on fire. Didn't look like he was having an Aaron Rodgers-type season to start things off, and I don't know what it is. It's just accuracy is not where it is normally. Okay, and Ryan, of course, your favorite game of the week, the New York Giants crumbling against the struggling Philadelphia Eagles, headed up by my man Vince Young,
yeah, so
17-10.
2 weeks in a row, and I'll say it again, they think they're a running team, and they're not. And as soon as they realize they're not a running team, things start moving better. But they spent the first half running, getting like a yard and a half a carry. It's really pathetic. This team is so frustrating.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome, though, watching it with you and just seeing you.
On first down, getting 1.5 yards so we can be 2nd and 8.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to this Philadelphia Eagles defense, though. They came out fired up. And
but it was also, I mean, the Giants haven't been able to run the ball all year. It's crazy.
It does seem like Tom Coughlin is just stubborn. He's just trying to force this run game. Even Eli in one of the interviews was like, yeah, you know, Coughlin likes to run the ball, but sometimes it's not the best. I mean, if Eli Manning, soft-spoken Eli Manning, is calling out your coach, subtly trying to call out the coach, encouraging passing plays, yeah, it doesn't really make sense.
You also have your offensive coordinator now is also the guy who got punched in the face by Buddy Ryan for throwing the ball too much, so you know he's itching to throw the ball.
Yeah, he's dying to throw the rock. He's not looking to run the ball. Oh, man. And how about DeSean Jackson? My God. I would love to have bet the over the time number of times the N-word was used in the city of Philadelphia when he got called back on that 6-yard penalty.
So
what I don't understand is his taunting play, that taunting flag, happened after the play was over. Now, there was a legal contact or holding on the Giants that happened during the play. What I don't understand is how did those offset when that personal foul happened after the play? I thought personal fouls that happened after the play were dead ball fouls, and then they were assessed. I understand if the taunting happened during the play, but he was clearly out of bounds and the play was over.
I have no idea.
Wouldn't you have thought that they would decline the 5-yard penalty and then the 15 yards would be assessed from where he ran out of bounds?
Yeah, it'd be a first down from like wherever the – yeah, I don't know. But that being said, what are the chances he's on the Raiders next year?
Oh, man, that just – yeah, like – that is, he is destined for Oakland right now. Destined
for Oakland. Not going to be on the Eagles next year, right?
I don't see how. I think Reed's really had it up to, you know, really tired of his crap. I mean, it depends. Who knows if Andy Reid's going to be there next year? But I don't see DeSean Jackson being in a Philadelphia Eagles uniform next year. Okay, let's move on to Week 12. Thanksgiving Day action. 3 Thanksgiving Day games to get into here. Green Bay Packers heading into Detroit. We're Detroit. At home, getting 6 points. I don't know, Ryan. Which way are you leaning here?
I love Detroit. I think Detroit will be able to keep or score with the Packers here. So I think you got to take the points. The crowd's going to be all fired up for the Eminem and it's Nickelback's doing the halftime show. What a ridiculous! Like, have you read about this? They try to like.
Didn't they try to protest that?
They tried to ask Nickelback to step down so Eminem could do it. Eminem and Kid Rock.
Wow, Eminem and Kid Rock. That's Thanksgiving to me. That's insane. Here's my strategy.
Detroit. It's like, why not pick the? It's so dumb. God, they're so stupid.
Detroit just finds ways to lose, whether it's with who they pick for the halftime shows or how they. Although 7-3 this year, they're definitely beat expectations.
Although, yeah. I like Detroit plus six and a half, whatever you can find.
Here's my strategy. I'm going to take the Green Bay Packers anytime they're favored by less than a touchdown going forward here. I think we're kind of witnessing a historic run with the Packers. I totally see how they could not cover this game. I see where you're coming from, but I think we're overreacting a little bit to Detroit coming back against that Carolina defense. They haven't really looked great. Since losing to San Francisco, since they lost to San Francisco, they haven't really dominated a team. So I'm gonna ride with my Green Bay Packers
my
here.
My argument would be that Green Bay's defense is no better than Carolina's defense. So
that is true, but I think I don't know, man. I can't bet against this Green Bay Packers team right now. Okay, now the Dallas Cowboys hosting the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins coming into town. I feel like this Miami team's getting feisty, and they're getting 7 points. I like Miami to cover against Dallas. I feel like anything under seven, seven and above, I like Miami. Under seven, I think you got to take Dallas here. But I think Miami's kind of feisty, and they're going to give Dallas a run. And Dallas has not looked good in their past few games. Granted, it's been against crummier teams, but I'm not really sold on this Dallas team. Maybe I'm an Eagles homer, and it's clouding my judgment. But I think Miami's going to be feisty against them. What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah, that's what I wanted. The Cowboys are probably going to win this game, but I don't know if they're going to win by a touchdown. So I'm going to take the Dolphins plus the 7, although I wouldn't be surprised if the Cowboys won this game. Actually, you know what? I'm going to take the Cowboys. I'm not going to bet on this game, but I'll take the Cowboys laying 7.
Wow, we're disagreeing so far in the Thanksgiving Day matchups. Also, this Miami-Dallas game reminds me of one of the great moments of my childhood when it was snowing in Dallas for a Thanksgiving game. Dallas blocked a field goal, and then Nate Newton slid into the ball, and then Miami recovered and was able to kick a field goal and win. That was really a highlight of my childhood, seeing Dallas lose on Thanksgiving Day.
I do remember that. That was a good one.
Okay, now the Battle of the Harbaugh Brothers in Baltimore. Baltimore, 3.5 points against the underdog San Francisco 49ers coming into town getting 3.5. Give me 3 in the hook every day with this 49ers team. They are a ball control field goal team. I think 3.5 feels really good for me for this team. I know it's a short week west to east, but man, this just feels like it's going to be a smash mouth, tough game. Baltimore has a lot more questions in my mind than San Francisco, and I like them getting 3.5.
Yep, this should be 3. If anything, the 49ers offense has been, although it's not, it hasn't impressed me, it's been way more consistent. So I like their, as crazy as this sounds, I'd rather have Alex Smith controlling the rock than Joe Flacco. So yeah, I think the big story here is that neither team's going to be able to run the ball. So which team can move the ball by passing it? And I've seen Alex Smith do more than Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco's games basically throw up prayers to Torrey Smith. Or throw interceptions. So give me the 49ers plus 3.5.
Moving on to the Sunday games. Minnesota Vikings going into Atlanta. Minnesota getting 9.5 points. Feels like a little high for this Atlanta team. I'm going to roll with Minnesota just kind of as an upset pick.
Definitely. I mean, they looked good even. I mean, they didn't look bad at home even without Adrian Peterson. I think their defense is strong enough to keep them in the game. And like you said, 9.5 is a lot of points in the NFL, in the National Football League.
Is Adrian Peterson back? Do we know that?
It sounds like he's going to be out. He's got a high ankle sprain.
All right. Well, let's see. I'll stick with Minnesota. 9.5 points feels like a lot. Okay. Battle of Ohio. Cleveland Browns head to Cincinnati. Cincinnati laying 7, maybe 7.5, depending on where you get it. Either way, I like Cincinnati. I just can't take this Cleveland Browns team right now. Cincinnati, I feel like, is a good team.
Week one.
Exactly. Somehow Cincinnati lost to this Cleveland
team. Oh, wait, no. Cincinnati won.
Oh, yeah. Never mind. Sorry. Cincinnati. But they have lost back-to-back against the Ravens and the Steelers. I think they get healthy here in a big way against Cleveland Browns. What do you think, Ryan?
AJ Green's back, it sounds like. So, yeah, let's roll with the Bengals here. I mean, the Bears haven't, or the Browns haven't showed me anything. So give me the Bengals, even though it's 7.
Tampa Bay Bucks heading into Tennessee. Tampa Bay only getting 3 points. I'm not sold on this Tampa Bay team. They seem to be falling apart. Tennessee has been feisty, and I think the fact that Matt Schaub is out for the season gives Tennessee a little inspiration, makes them think that they have a shot to win this division, which I think they do, an outside shot. I like Tennessee laying only 3 points at home.
I think this is one of those games we're getting a little value because the starting quarterback's out. So, yeah, I'm going to roll with Locker, only laying 3.
Yeah, I like Locker. He looked good coming in. I think they're going to be competitive.
They're going to win the game by a touchdown or more. Tampa's not a very good team.
Okay, now the Carolina Panthers heading into Indianapolis. Panthers laying 3.5 points in Indy. Man, this Indy team is done. There's no way I can take them, even with getting the field goal and the hook. I guess maybe if you think Indy wins one game this year, maybe it's against Carolina at home, but I don't see it, man. I got to take the Panthers here.
Yeah. Even though Indy's coming off a bye, they stink. And, you know, Carolina didn't look great last week, but their offense can move the ball and their defense is not great, but, I mean, neither is Indy's offense. So give me Carolina.
Okay, Carolina. Another battle of not too great teams here. You got the Arizona Cardinals heading into St. Louis. Currently, I don't see a spread on this. I think we're, what are we, it's, three?
The Hilton has it at three.
Now, who's getting three?
It's St. Louis minus three.
I'm going to have to take the Cardinals plus three here. It just seems like, I mean, they're two crappy teams. Take the team getting some points here. Ryan, any thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I mean, they got blown off the field by Seattle last week. Arizona's actually looked half decent at times. I'll take the team getting points here. Give me Arizona.
You got Larry Fitzgerald. It seems like they've been able to get him the ball at times, regardless of who's been at quarterback. I think they do something here. Okay, now AFC East matchup, the Buffalo Bills trying to desperately circle the wagons against the New York Jets, and I think they do. I know I've been getting burned lately with Buffalo, but I like Buffalo getting 9 points against the Jets. Obviously, Buffalo banged up, but I don't like this Jets team to cover a spread this big. 9 feels a little high for me. What are your thoughts?
Close your eyes. They underperformed by 21 points last week, so.
I think that's back-to-back weeks they underperformed by 21.
Is it? Maybe that's not a good thing. Then. I'll also take Buffalo just because I don't.
9 points feels high for a division game. Granted, the Jets are at home coming off a long week of rest, but this Bills team, they'll cut it within 9. I'm confident of that. Now.
Although, Houston, we should say no Fred Jackson.
Oh, man. Wow. Jesus, do I have to take the Jets? All right. You changed my mind. The Bills without Fred Jackson, their offensive line's banged up. I'll just ride the Jets. Okay, Houston Texans with the new starter, Matt Leiner, going into Jacksonville, coming off a bye week, laying 3.5 on the road. This is tricky, Ryan. Which way are you leaning?
I said it last week. I thought there was going to be value in the Texans because people are going to make this line way too small just because Matt Leinart's starting. I think everything I've read said he's looked awesome in practice, and they're really comfortable with him. And that team kind of – they have a really good defense, and they have an insanely good running game. I'm going to take Houston. I think this might be a lock of the week.
Wow. Houston laying 3.5. Okay. All right. I see you. Now another team with their starting quarterback out.
One other point. Andre Johnson's back.
Oh, okay. All right. And Leinart does have 2 weeks. Yeah, I think it's more just their run game will be able to protect Leinart, so he won't be that bad.
I just think the quarterback position in that offense hasn't been as important. Like, I think Schaub has kind of looked good because of the offense, not the other way around.
Yeah, they've put him in good situations.
But if you remember, a couple years ago, Sage Rosenfeld looked like an all-pro in that offense, so.
Yeah, you got Arian Foster and Tate running pretty hard. I think that'll be enough to take out Jacksonville. Now, the Chicago Bears also missing their starting quarterback, heading into Oakland, getting 4.5 or 5 points, depending on where you go. I think that's enough against this Oakland team, even if Oakland pulls out an upset by maybe, or, you know, maybe, I guess it's not an upset if they're favored, but I think the Chicago team is still really strong. I think they're going to kind of rally around the fact that Cutler's out. And I like them to cover 4, maybe 5 points.
Well, put it this way. If Cutler's in this game, this is probably a pick 'em or like a Oakland minus one or Bears minus somewhere in between the threes.
So you can make an argument in my mind that if Cutler was playing, it'd be Chicago minus three in Oakland. And I don't think Cutler's a 7.5 point swing quarterback.
Well, that's the thing. Is Cutler worth between 3 and 7 points? He's certainly good, but, I mean, Haney has come in before and looked good for the Bears team, and their defense is playing, is really firing right now. Oakland needs to run the ball to be successful, and Chicago just doesn't let you run the ball. So I like Chicago here getting 4.5 or 5 points.
Okay. Now the Redskins heading out west in Seattle. Seattle's laying 3.5 points. I cannot take this Redskins team. I refuse to take them. Although maybe I took him last week getting 7, 7.5, but only getting 3.5 in Seattle. This Redskins team feels like they don't have much heart left. Seattle, at least playing for something, they seem to be playing hard. 3.5, I'll take the Seahawks here.
Redskins are coming off their Super Bowl. It's a letdown game. They're going to lose. I like Seattle getting only, I think it's 3.5 at home.
Yeah.
So, also, I just read Fred Jackson's actually out for the season with a broken leg. So.
Wow. Bill. This is a typical Bills season, and just they had to suck the fan base in, and now they just crushed their hopes. All right. Speaking of fan bases having their hopes crushed, the Philadelphia Eagles play host to the New England Patriots. Man, I'm trying not to get excited about this game, but I feel good about the Eagles at home against the Patriots, coming off a big win against the Giants. I feel like the defense had a little life breathed into them. It seems like Vince Young's going to start, and I think if they just kind of do what they did against the Giants, I think they'll be all right. I mean, obviously the defense could come out flat, but I actually kind of like how they match up against New England in the fact that they're kind of built for fast teams. They're not built to play well against smash-mouth teams, which New England is not. They're more of a finesse team. I like the matchups there, and I like the Eagles to win. What do you see in this? Have you seen a spread at this?
Yeah, Eagles are getting 3 at home.
Okay. Anything over 3 at Eagles as a home team, I think that's it's a good bet. What are your thoughts, Ryan?
I think the one matchup that's really bad, I mean, obviously I'm not sure Vince Young will totally be able to exploit the horrible New England secondary, but I think the matchup to look at is the Patriots tight ends versus the linebackers of the Eagles, and that's a huge mismatch in the favor of the Eagle or the Patriots. And I mean, you saw what Gronkowski did to a, you know, pretty decent Chiefs linebacking core. So that's what would scare me. Although, you know, like you said earlier, the Patriots haven't really been that impressive lately. Although I can't take Vince Young. I'll roll with the Patriots laying 3. I think this game might be closer than we thought, but I just don't think he can exploit those secondary woes the Patriots have been having.
All right. Makes sense. I see your argument there. Now the Denver Broncos heading into San Diego, where the Broncos are getting 6 points. It's like these odds makers don't watch these games in San Diego. Man, I am not sold on this San Diego team. They seem to be flat. Everything seems to be going Denver's way. They're getting all the right bounces. They're kind of energized behind this team. I don't see why. I mean, I feel good about Denver winning this game, especially coming off a long week. Especially getting 6 points. 6 points feels way too high for me. I don't see why San Diego should be favored by more than 3 points here.
I don't know. I really don't want to take Tebow, but I feel like San Diego is still getting too much respect, and they haven't really done anything all year. So this probably should be 3.5 points, maybe 4 points. But like you said, at 6 points, I mean, it opened at 7, and people bet it down to 6 for a reason. I guess I'll roll with Denver here, and you know, maybe I'll reverse jinx Tim Tebow, but I don't know. I guess I have to take Tebow.
There you go.
Plus the rule, you got to take the dog in these AFC West matchups.
Exactly. That seems to be the
road dogs have been winning outright.
Yeah, this division seems to be a complete toss-up. May as well take the team getting 6 points. Okay, now the Pittsburgh Steelers heading into Kansas City, where they're laying 10.5 points on the road. I like Kansas City to cover 10.5 here. It just feels a little too high. Pittsburgh doesn't seem to blow out crappy teams. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I don't think they're dominant enough to win in decisive fashion on the road in Kansas City. It'll be kind of interesting, maybe at times. I still like Pittsburgh to win by a touchdown, but 10.5 feels a hair high. I'll take the Chiefs here.
The night game in Kansas City, it's going to be loud and crazy. And Roethlisberger has something wrong with him. I think it's a broken thumb on his non-throwing hand, maybe.
It's a little banged up.
And okay, now I think the big thing is just that the Chiefs are going to be able to run the ball. Pittsburgh hasn't been great against the run this year, so they should be able to keep it close.
Makes sense. All right, now the New York Giants, big Monday night matchup in New Orleans. The Giants are getting 7 points. Feels a little high. I feel like people are overreacting a little bit on the Eagles game. Giants losing that. A lot of people saw that game Sunday night. I feel like that probably drove the line a little higher. New Orleans coming off a bye week. I'm going to have to take the Giants here, getting 7 points. Feels like this should be more 4 points, maybe 6 points, 7. I'm going to have to roll with the Giants.
It probably should be 4. I mean, I think the big thing is if the Giants can come out and, you know, spread it out, start playing out of the shotgun, this Saints defense is not very good. So I think the Giants will be able to score with them. And I mean, they could easily win this. It's not like, it wouldn't be crazy if the Giants won this game. So that makes taking the 7 points even easier.
Yeah, that's true. I can actually see them winning outright. So yeah, you're right. I think 7 points seems way too high. All right, Ryan, it's that time. Give me your lock of the week and your upset special.
All right, lock, because I don't want to take a road team for my lock, because I was going to take Houston, but I'm going to roll with Tennessee. I think this Tampa team is bad. I like Tennessee. I like the way they're playing at home, especially, and I like Locker. So that's going to be my lock. And my underdog, my money line pick this week, I'm going to roll with Chicago. You can probably find that somewhere in the plus 180 to plus 200 range. I just think people are overreacting to Cutler being out. So let me get, give me the Bears. They're the much better team.
Sounds good. All right. For my lock of the week, I'll take the San Francisco 49ers getting 3.5 points in Baltimore. It's Baltimore teams too. Too questionable. Too many unknowns for this Baltimore team. Too inconsistent. I like San Francisco getting 3.5 points there. That feels like a little bit too much. For my upset special, I will take the Miami Dolphins going into Dallas, winning outright. Dallas team has no heart, Ryan. And I like this Miami team. They're playing like they have nothing to lose, and it'll just make my Thanksgiving if they win outright in Dallas. So that's my upset special. It's 7-point spread. You should be able to get a lot of value on that. I know, because I took the Eagles money line against the Giants, 5 points. I got it at 2-1, so 2.5-1. I say roll for it. I mean, I like them winning outright more than I like Detroit winning outright. So it's Thanksgiving Day. You know, let it ride. Go big or go home.
That's right, Sean. And if you really want to have fun this Thanksgiving, why not throw a three-team teaser out there and take Detroit, Dallas?
Yeah, give us... All right, give me your Thanksgiving Day three-team teaser, Ryan.
All right, if we're doing we'll do a three-teams 10-point special teaser. Just give me Dallas -3 or +3. You tease Detroit to +16, and you tease San Francisco to +13.5, and you can thank me later.
Well, I'll agree somewhat. I like San Francisco getting 10 points. I like Miami getting 17 much more, and I like Green Bay getting 4 points. So I would kind of reverse the two, but I like your San Francisco.
You know what I'll do instead, too? I mean, if you want to just take Miami-Dallas out of it because we disagree, you do the same thing with Detroit. You go up to 16.5 or whatever it is, and then you do San Francisco +13.5, and you tease the under 48.5.
Okay. For which one, the Dallas-Miami?
No, for San Francisco-Baltimore. You just leave the Miami-Dallas game off.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea. Yeah, it's going to be a low-scoring affair there. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Sports Gambling Podcast. You can log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Find us on Stitcher. Find us on iTunes. For Sean Green, he's...
I'm the man.
Let it ride.